I'm scared to tiptoe through the tulips. I might knock one over this morning. I know they're lilies. I know them. Let me say, certainly it's good to see each and everybody here on this morning of all mornings to be able to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last year, we weren't able to have this service. And I can't tell you how it feels in my heart to be in the house of the Lord this morning with these such a sweet people that I dearly love and celebrate this day together. Here in just a little while, maybe through the Scripture and the Word of God, we'll go down to the tomb and let's go see for ourselves. I'll say this. I don't have to have a message to see. Whenever I was a 12-year-old boy, the Lord came and pricked my heart and saved my never-dying soul. And I'm sure and I know that the grave is empty this morning. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, I'm going to turn in. I know this might seem like strange Scripture. This is what the Lord has laid on our heart. If the Lord's laid it on our heart, I believe it'll get the job done, and I'm satisfied with it. But it's found in the 14th chapter of the book of Job. And in Job, the 14th chapter, there are three questions that are asked, and the Lord Jesus Christ answered all those questions. Now, I love those Old Testament questions, like in the book of Psalms, the question is asked in one place, who will go for us, or who will ascend unto the holy hill? And the answer is always Jesus. And this morning, if you've got questions in your life, it's the same. The answer is always Jesus. But here's the first question that is asked in that 14th chapter of the book of Job. It says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No, not one. Job answers his own question, who has the ability to cleanse themselves? Who has the ability to make themselves right in the eyes of God? And Job answers his own question and says, no, not one. It's the same idea that Isaiah had whenever he said, come, let us reason together. How though your sins be as scarlet, they can be whiter than the snow. Now I'm glad this morning that the question is answered in Christ. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean one? I'm reminded of when the leper in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy left. In another place, there were 10 of them that were on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and they cried out unto the Lord, Hosanna, thou son of David, heal us, have mercy on us. And Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And on their way to the house of God, they were cleansed. And there were only one out of the 10 that returned and bowed at his feet and gave him glory. But all this morning, don't you want to be one of the 10? I'll tell you this. All of us, because of the sin of Adam, all of us are unclean. But thank God there is one that's able to cleanse to the uttermost. The blood that he shed on Calvary whenever they crucified him, that blood is what cleanses us. Who can create or bring a clean thing out of an unclean one? I'll tell you the answer. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, I'm glad this morning I can say by my faith in Christ, I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God, and it's as though I never sinned. Now, he goes on and says this. In the 7th chapter, or 7th verse of the 14th chapter, there is hope of a tree that if you cut it down, it'll sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. He said, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk dies in the ground, yet through the sin of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Here's the next question he asked. He says, but man dieth. And man wasteth away. And yea, man gives up the ghost. Where is he? I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ answered that in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In that Gospel of Luke, and I'm not going to call it a parable. I'm not going to call it a story. I believe it was a real case, something that the Lord drew from. The Bible said they were two men, or it tells us the story of two men. One of the men, the Bible calls Lazarus. The Bible said that he was a beggar. The Bible said he laid at the table or the gate of the rich man and would have begged and wanted the scraps from the rich man's table, but he didn't get any. The Bible said the dogs even licked his sores. Here is the story of this pitiful, poor man by the name of Lazarus. On the other hand, we have a rich man. The Bible just calls him the rich man. Doesn't give him the name or whatever, just calls him the rich man. Said that he fared sumptuously. Oh, that he was dressed in fine linen every day. Oh, was a wonderful, perfect day for this man. But the Bible said they both died. I want you to know the Word of God teaches us that it's appointed unto us once to die, and after this the judgment. All of us are going to face death one way or another. The Bible said they both died, and here Lazarus, the beggar, was carried up by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, into the perfect rest of God. But it said of the rich man in hell, did he lift his eyes? Jesus answered the question, when a man dies, where is he? He's either in heaven or he's in hell, according to the Word of God. But aren't you glad Jesus died on Calvary to make sure that all of us would have the opportunity to go to heaven? I tell you this, I want you to hear my testimony this morning. When I die, don't you weep for me. I know where I'm going. I'm going to that place where so many others have preceded me in death. I'm going into the presence of the Lord. When a man dies, where is he? Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day after a while, when I give up the ghost down here, my eternal life will kick in. Thank God this morning. When a man dies, where is he? I'm going to heaven. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary. The Bible said, and this is the last question, and maybe the most poignant question for this morning. He says, the waters fail from the sea, the flood decays and dries up. A man lies down and rises not, till heaven be no more. And they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, and listen to his misery. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until the wrath of God be past, that thou wouldest appoint and set a time for me and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? The Lord Jesus Christ, he was interviewed by Pilate, found no fault in him, gave the people a way out to release either Jesus or Barabbas. And they said, release Barabbas. Well, what shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him. We know that they took him into the courtyard of Pilate, had a Roman soldier strike his back 40 save one, 39 times, until the blood began to flow out of his precious flesh. And how that he was made to carry his cross up Golgotha's hill. How that somewhere on the journey there was a man by the name of Simon the Cyrene who had brought his two young sons to watch or to be a part of the Passover ceremony. And a Roman soldier compelled him to carry the cross. As he got under the cross of our Lord, the blood that had been running out of his body surely was upon, and they made their way up to the place of the skull. They nailed our Savior onto that cross. They picked it up and lifted it up and dropped it down into the hole. And how his body must have quivered with anguish and with pain. He looked out at the very ones that had crucified him and said, Father God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It would be a little bit later, he would cry out, Eli, Eli, Sabachthani. Jeremiah, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to look away because he bore your sin and he bore my sin and he bore the sin of the whole world for all of eternity. And God turned and looked away as Jesus cried out and said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost. The Bible said a Roman soldier pierced his side with a spear. Blood and water came out. The sky was darkened. It was one of the most miserable dark days in the history of the world. If you'll have it this way, even the heavens were crying. Even the heavens were weeping. Oh, what a sad, sad situation. They would take him down off that cross. They would have the tomb of this man who was rich and this man who was wealthy of Arimathea, and they would bring him out of that tomb and they would place him into that tomb after they covered him, after they covered his face with a napkin and they covered him with linen, and there he would lay in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They would go to bed that night. I don't know, and I do know. I do. See if I can navigate this. Some of you this year have had to deal with death. There's nothing more heartbreaking than to say goodbye to somebody that you love. Death don't care how old you are. Death don't care what your social economic strata or how much money you have. Death don't care. Death will come to you and visit you when you're young. It'll come and visit you when you're old, and it's no respecter of persons. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, listen, death had come and paid our Lord and Savior a visit. And there's, you know, when somebody dies, the hard part, that first little bit, that first day, it's surreal. It's like it don't compute. You're just trying to, it's not like you're trying to figure it out, but it's so hard and it's so heavy and it's so on you and it's so difficult. You're just numb. Anybody been through that? Yeah, and then another day passes, and to be honest with you, it ain't a whole lot better. You're still just trying to process all of it. It's like it's not even real. You're having trouble dealing with the fact that this has happened and this person that you love is gone. And that's where the disciples were on the second day. They were still trying to process it. But on the third day, that's when it gets real. On the third day, that's when all the despair begins to set in. It's on the third day that death becomes a reality. But thank God, on the third day, there were some women that made their way down to the tomb with some spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And they found the stone rolled away. And there were angels there that said, "Why seek you the living? Or why seek you the living among the dead? He's risen." As he said, he had told them, "If you tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll build it again." He had told them, "I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to pick it up again." Brothers and sisters, he said, as Jonah was in the fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And thank God, on that third day, they found the stone was rolled away. And here's what the angel said in one scripture: "Go and tell the disciples and Peter." Oh, don't you know? He wanted specifically Peter to know, because Peter had failed him so often. Oh, how often have I been like that disciple named Peter? I'm glad he sent me a message just like he did the disciple named Peter. And so the ladies make their way back to the place where Peter and John and the disciples are abiding. They knock on the door and somebody goes and answers the door. And the ladies say, we have been to the grave and He is not there. And some men in white clothing, I believe they were angels, said, go and tell His disciples. And Peter and John take off running to the tomb where Jesus was at. He wasn't there anymore, to where He was at in the past. They made their way. John did outrun Peter. They looked in. They went in and they found the grave. Grave clothes and a napkin folded at the door of the Lord Jesus Christ had arisen from the dead. And I want you to know this, brothers and sisters, it didn't wonder. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. He said, there's a day coming when the trump of God is going to sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who remain will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then shall be brought to pass. The saying, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Aren't you glad this morning we have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ? The grave is empty. Let all come and see He is alive. And because He is alive, we are alive. Because He arose from the dead, that means one day, do you realize there is a resurrection yet to take place? Brothers and sisters, this morning we've got one eye looking back, one eye remembering what He did. One eye remembering that first resurrection morn when He raised out of the grave. But I want to tell you, I want you to cast your eye forward. There's another resurrection day coming in a little while. And you and I are going to be a part of it with all those who went on to be with the Lord that we love. And so, this morning, we celebrate a risen Savior. Brothers and sisters, is it any wonder so much of the world is so miserable? They have no hope. Think about this, and I'll close. What if, and Paul asked this question in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. There was a big discrepancy in that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the church in Corinth, because there were some that were saying that He didn't arise. And Paul goes into the first part of that 15th chapter and he said, well, now wait a minute. He was seen of the ladies and he was seen of the disciple named Peter, calls him Cephas in that scripture, and said over 500 people saw Him when He arose from the dead. He was seen by many. But he said, furthermore, if Christ be not raised, we are still in our sins and our trespasses. If Christ be not raised, our faith is in vain. But aren't you glad for that preposition? He said, but now is Christ risen. Oh, I'm glad this morning. He's alive, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession. Go and tell the world, but now is Christ risen. Brothers and sisters, I have no idea what we're going to face in this next year. Would you have ever thought that we would have just, I hope we're coming through it. Would you ever believe, or would you have ever believed that we would go through what we went through over the last year? And now, seems like we're kind of coming out of it and we're going back to normal. Who knows what tomorrow's going to hold? But I'll tell you this much, I'm so glad I know the one that holds tomorrow. Regardless of what happens, listen now, regardless of what happens, if you've been saved, in the end, we win. Don't you give heed to the hatred and the vitriol that's going around politically in our country today. Stay away from that garbage. Find your rest and your hope in a risen Savior and in His love. And I will assure you, life will be a whole lot better and life will be a whole lot sweeter. All right, stand to your feet this morning. Three greatest questions ever asked. Who can create a clean thing out of an unclean one? When a man dies, where is he? If a man dies, shall he live again? And Jesus, when that stone rolled away, answered every one of those questions. This morning, I want you to know from the depths of my heart that I love you. I pray that God blesses you with a wonderful day today. Daniel will be bringing the message in the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to step outside now and we're going to gather together. What we usually do, we'll gather together in a circle and we'll hold hands and we'll pray. And once we do that, we'll come in and eat breakfast. So, does anybody have anything on their heart?